Hello, beautiful. Wow, that smells delicious. I owe you for this. Hello? Miss Anne Carter? Speaking. This is Richard Holloway, an attorney from Holloway & Clerk. I'm calling regarding the estate of the late Margaret Devereaux. Who? Margaret Devereaux, your late distant relative. You're listed as the sole heir to her property. I'm sorry, but I don't think I know a Margaret Devereaux. Margaret Devereaux. That's not surprising. She was the estranged step-cousin of your mother. She never married, never had children, and had no immediate family. As the only living relative connected to her, the property has legally passed to you. This is a lot. Where exactly is this house? Just outside of Goshen, a rural area about 4 hours into the country. Alright, I guess I'll check it out. So, let me get this straight. You just inherited a creepy house in the middle of nowhere from a mystery aunt you've never met? Step-cousin of my mom, and yeah, apparently no one else is around to claim the property in the family. Sounds like the setup of a horror movie. Don't jinx it. That weekend, meeting up with Holloway, Anne signed off the papers and got the keys to the house. And then, they were on the road. The first 2 hours were smooth. But as they got closer, the roads became narrower, winding through dense woods. The GPS rerouted twice, leaving them confused, stranded in the middle of who knows where. Are we even on a real road? This looks more like a hiking trail. Just keep going, it should be around here somewhere. Finally, after another 30 minutes of twisting roads, the trees parted, revealing a vast open space. The house stood tall in the middle of the 10-acre property, surrounded by nothing but woods. John parked the car and finally stepped out to take a stretch. Okay, this is something. It's beautiful out here, but so lonely. The house was outdated, but eerily well-preserved. The windows were intact, the paint wasn't peeling, and the garden, though overgrown, still had structure to it. It's like time stopped here. Creepy, but cool. Ready to check out your haunted house? Let's get it over with. Anne pushed open the heavy oak front door. Dust floated in the air, catching the dim evening light. This place is in perfect condition. Yeah, too perfect. Has someone secretly been living here? Last thing I want is to walk in on a hobo taking a shower. This place has got me shivers already, John. Don't creep me out even more, please. They wandered into the dining room, and Anne froze. John, look at this. The dining table was set, plates, silverware, even a candelabra in the center. Everything was spotless, as if guests were expected at any moment. Maybe your aunt was really into dinner parties. She's been dead for months. How's it like this? Moving on, they explored the hallways lined with children's portraits. Why do they all look the same? And who are these kids? Same face, same clothes. John and Anne then reached a locked door. It's locked. What's here? Some storage or something. Listening closely, Anne suddenly heard a faint sound, like a lullaby. Did you hear that? It's like someone is humming. Old houses make noises, babe. That's not a noise, that's singing. It's the wind. I was joking about the ghosts, you know. It was a long evening as John and Anne walked about the house checking it out. John, it's getting late. We should get going. Find a motel or something. Why, this place is fine. Your aunt's bed is huge and we don't have to drive in the dark. Really? Here? Is the plumbing and water even all right? Everything is tip-top shape, except for the spirits. What? I'll drive out and get some groceries tomorrow morning. Let's stay the weekend, it'll be fun. This place is kind of growing on me. Fine. As they settled into the master bedroom, Anne stared at the ornate mirror. It was from the 50s. In fact, all the furniture were so old but so well cared for. As soon as John hit the bed that night, he fell sound asleep. But Anne was awake and a little bit uneasy in this unfamiliar place in the middle of nowhere. A faint sound pulled Anne from her sleep. Whispers, a lullaby, and the soft, muffled cries of a child. She sat up slowly, glancing at John, who was snoring lightly beside her. Holding her breath, she listened. The sound seemed to be coming from the hallway. Anne slid out of bed, her bare feet pressing against the cold wooden floor. She tiptoed toward the locked door and pressed her ear against it. Silence. Am I imagining it? I thought I heard something. Then, from the corner of her eye, she saw a shadow move down the hallway. Hello? Is someone there? It was silent. Anne hesitated before following. Crossing over to the hall, she stared at another door. It was a closet. Inside, small dresses and neatly folded baby blankets filled the shelves. Old wooden toys were tucked in the corners, but what made her heart pound was the faint outline of a door behind them. Anne gasped, spinning around, only to see John blinking at her sleepily. What are you doing here in the middle of the night? John, I heard something, and I came to look, and look, there's a room behind here. What? Really? Together, they pushed the clothes aside and found a hidden door. Anne tugged it open. Revealing a small, dusty study. Shelves lined the walls, filled with old letters and diaries. What is this place? and grabbed a journal off the table, opening to the first entry. March 5th, 1952. Sebastian was overjoyed when we learned of the baby. He spoke of a grand future, of a house filled with laughter. I wanted that too. I wanted to make him happy. This is my Aunt Margaret's. Interesting. Keep reading. Yeah, she would have wanted that, right? A stranger reading her personal diary in her hidden study. She won't know anymore. August 20th, 1952. The nursery is ready. A beautiful crib, soft blankets, toys waiting to be loved. But the house is silent. Too silent. The baby is gone. Taken before I could even hold him. Sebastian hasn't spoken in days. John, she lost the baby. That's awful. The next entry was smeared as if tears had once soaked the page. September 3rd, 1952. Sebastian won't look at me. He wanted a family. Now there's nothing but emptiness in this house. I hear crying at night, but when I wake, the crib is still empty. Always empty. She still heard the baby, even when it wasn't there. Probably going through depression. And in a place like this, all alone? Poor woman. Let's get out of here. The next morning, John grabbed his keys. I'm gonna check out town, grab some groceries. You wanna come? I'll stay and look around more. Just don't take too long, okay? Scared already? Anne rolled her eyes. But as soon as the front door shut behind him, the house felt different. Anne wandered through the halls, looking through all the old trinkets and decor. But then, soft giggles echoed from the next room. She froze. Slowly, Anne stepped toward the sound. The room was empty. She walked to the locked door, searching the table and the hallway for a key. It has to be somewhere. Inside the drawer were old drawings. Crude sketches of children crying. What is this? All of a sudden, Anne heard the door click open. She hesitated at the threshold of the now open room. Small, frozen in time, it was the nursery. A perfect space for a newborn who never arrived. A crib stood against the wall, dust-covered but intact. A single rocking chair faced the window. And a small wooden desk sat in the corner, cluttered with old papers. Anne swallowed, her nerves, and stepped inside. The air was thick with something. Grief, perhaps. She ran her fingers over the desk, picking up an old medical file. The name on it. Margaret Duvreux. Diagnosis. High risk of future pregnancy loss. So she could never have more children. A stack of letters sat beside the file, faded and unopened. carefully picked one up, the ink barely legible. "Sebastian, please, come home. I can't bear this alone. I know I failed you, but I love you. Please don't leave me like this." Anne read through more letters, each one more desperate than the last. But it was clear Sebastian never returned. He had married another woman, had the family he always wanted, while Margaret. Later that morning, when John returned, Anne told him everything. Bad news. Everything in town's closed for the weekend. We're stuck here until Monday. Seriously? Yep, small town life, I guess. John, don't you think there's something strange about this place? It really feels alive, like we're not alone. And it's an old house, you're just scaring yourself. Your aunt is history. No, John, it's like her presence is still here. Anne pulled out Margaret's letters and medical papers, showing them to John. He skimmed through them, then shrugged. "It's sad, yeah, but it's just a tragic story, Anne. A woman loses her baby, her husband leaves. Horrible, but not supernatural." Anne frowned. "You really think that it's all there is to it?" John nodded. "Yeah, it's just an old house playing tricks on you. Look, let's just get some rest, all right?" Anne didn't argue. But as she lay in bed that night, she couldn't shake the feeling. They were not alone. The next morning, as John left to walk the property, Anne tried to distract herself. She wandered off to explore again, this time drawn to the attic. The wooden stairs creaked as she climbed, the air growing thick and musty. Inside, she found more children's things. Tiny shoes, clothes, handmade dolls. Then her eyes landed on a large portrait covered in dust. She wiped it clean. It was Margaret, surrounded by children. All perfectly dressed and groomed. The same emotionless expression on all their faces. "John, come up here." "What now?" "Who really are these children?" John hesitated. "Look, didn't want to creep you out, but talked to some neighbors while I was out. And they told me something weird. Apparently, years after Sebastian left, Margaret turned this place into her own orphanage. She took in children, but people in town said something was off about them. They never spoke, never played outside, and Margaret, she was strange." "Strange how?" "They said she treated them like dolls, dressed them the same, acted like they were her own kids. And then one day they all just disappeared." "Disappeared?" "No one knows what happened. The town whispered that she did something to them. No one dares come near this house." "And you've kept me in this godforsaken house for the whole weekend?" "What choice do we have? And I actually punctured the tire on something on my way back. The car is running low on gas, and not even the auto shop is open in this town. What kind of town is this?" "Don't worry, I'm sure we'll be out of here on Monday." and stared back at the portrait, her skin crawling. Something wasn't right. By evening, dark clouds rolled in, and soon heavy rain pounded against the windows. Thunder rumbled in the distance as Anne and John stood by the fireplace, watching the storm rage outside. "If this keeps up, we might be stuck here even longer." "This is all your fault. We should have got a motel day one. I don't want to be stuck here." Suddenly, a loud bang echoed from the back of the house. What was that? Anne's eyes darted toward the hallway, the back door, slamming in the wind. They hurried toward it, but as Anne stepped onto the porch, she froze. Standing in the garden, barely visible through the rain, was a small figure, a child. "John, someone there, a little girl." Without thinking, Anne ran toward her, stood still facing away, her pale face billowing in the wind. But as Anne reached her, she was gone. Anne blinked in shock, now standing in the middle of a hidden garden filled with white roses. John caught up, breathless. "Anne, what the hell are you doing? Let's get back in." But Anne was silent, looking at the ground. John followed her gaze, looking between the white roses. He knelt, pushing aside the flowers. Beneath the roses were small weathered stones. "Are these graves?" Then they saw her. The little girl stood on the porch now, watching them. She giggled and darted inside the house. "Did you see that?" With their hearts hammering, they followed the girl inside, only to freeze in horror, standing in the dimly lit hallway. Was not just one child, but many. Pale faces, hollow eyes, dresses and suits from another time. They surrounded Anne and John, their laughter growing louder, filling every corner of the house. Anne reached for John's hand. "We have to get out of here." But the children kept closing in on them.
"Come play with us. We're so lonely."
Anne's heart raced. She tried to pull John toward the door, but the children blocked the way, laughing mischievously.
"Don't run away. We just want to play."
John pushed forward, trying to shove past them. But suddenly, the large chandelier above them creaked ominously. Anne's breath caught as she saw the metal chains begin to snap. "John, look out!" In that moment, the chandelier crashed down onto John, sending him crashing to the floor, unconscious. Anne gasped, running to his side. "John, no!" She shook him, but he didn't stir. Panic set in. Suddenly, the back door slammed shut on its own. The temperature dropped, and the air grew thick with a bone-chilling cold. A soft whisper filled the room. Barely audible, but unmistakable. You will make a fine mother. Anne looked around, her pulse pounding. And then she saw her, a woman in white.
Click on the subscribe button and check out more awesome videos on our channel. And don't forget to press the bell icon because you know it's interesting.